Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rugby is a badass sport.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 83 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. As always, I'm your host. Got a good show for everybody today. Looking forward to getting into it. Like I mentioned last week, I got some new microphones. So the interview with Colorado Exo scrum half Brady Daniel sounds great. Looking forward to everyone checking that out. But before we do that, we'll go ahead and start the show the same way we do every week, and that's by jumping into the breakdown. So we'll start the breakdown with some XO news. XOs are off this weekend. They did a conditioning session up at Red Rocks yesterday and now off for a couple of days. So if you've been paying attention, they picked up a 71-5 win over SoFlo last weekend. Sounds like SoFlo was just severely overmatched and saw that the XOs had to lend SoFlo a couple of players to complete the match as well, which is good, I guess, because it allows more XOs to get more playing time. And that kind of shows the rugby culture that these guys might not be familiar with. Like, I've never been involved in a football game or something where you had to lend a player or two to the other team, but this was the case here. So just kind of, shows what rugby's about. And like I said, a lot of guys got to play a lot more than maybe they would have, which is good. More match time's always good. That's the fastest way all of these guys are going to learn. And they've got a big couple of months coming up here. As far as I know. So like I said, they're going to be off this weekend. I believe that they're off next weekend. I haven't heard of any matches, but that doesn't mean anything. Then they play at Clemson in 2 weeks. I know that there's a match against Rugby HTX, which is a Houston Sabercats feeder team, in the beginning of May. And then the second weekend of May, they play the Hartford Harpooners here at Infinity Park, which is a match I know a lot of people are looking forward to. And as far as I know, that one will be streamed. I know they haven't been able to stream stuff on the road. That's usually the home team's responsibility, and they just haven't, hasn't been an option. But as far as I know, the stuff at Infinity Park will be streamed. I know a lot of people are looking forward to watching that. But like I said, it's going to be a big 2 months of rugby. There's going to be some quality competition here in the next 2 months or so, and I'm looking forward to watching how that all turns out. And of course, I'll keep you updated as I hear stuff. I know there's a couple more matches on the schedule, but I don't really want to talk about them until they've been formally announced because stuff has changed so much, even on a week-by-week basis. So wait till those are formally announced. But it's like I said, it's going to be a big 2 months of rugby. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that. Moving into the next piece of the breakdown, the women's national team has been training for about 2 weeks here at Infinity Park. Even though World Rugby has postponed the Women's Rugby World Cup until 2022, just good to see them, still gathering, training, getting better, so that when the time finally does come, they're going to be ready, and they've had all this extra time to train, and hopefully, it pays off for them. I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. I think, like I said, I've been unintentionally leaving it out for the last couple of weeks. Stuff that when I record, I leave and I'm like, dang it, I forgot to mention that. So I wanted to make sure I talked about that. And then finally, we'll close up with the short breakdown with some MLR stuff. Could talk a little bit about MLR round two last weekend. We'll talk about the upcoming fixtures and all the rugby that you can watch this weekend here in the next segment. So a couple of the notes I took, I actually brought my notebook this week. Goes without saying, I guess, but the Giltinis look like the best team in the competition. Beat the Seawolves down pretty bad, 57-26. Awesome to see Luke White, Ryan James scored in that match. Luke won man of the match. Always good to see the former Raptors doing big things. And for the Seawolves, they're off to their second consecutive tough start in as many seasons. They didn't get off on the best foot in 2020 as either. And they're kind of, you know, going down the same path this year as well. You know, they have an early bye, so it'll be important for them to kind of right the ship there. And then, you know, some of the other matches I took some notes on. Nola Gold beat down Rooney pretty bad, score 51-28. That match wasn't ever really close. It got close a little bit, I think, at the half, and then that was all she wrote. The Nola Gold was in control for the whole match. They were, you know, picking off passes and running them in. Nola Gold, like I said, wasn't ever as close as that halftime score made it seem. Moving into the next match, Old Glory DC beat Rugby ATL 30-23. This was a really good match. Really, you know, a lot of back and forth. Rugby ATL was in control in the first half, and Old Glory had a big second or third 20-minute, you know, period, and put up some points, and they took care of business. New England shut out Houston 32-0. Warriors beat the Arrows 39-24, something that came across the desk on Sunday, I think it was. Mika Kruse signed with the Warriors after originally signing with the Giltinis. I'm not sure if it was via trade or what, but the Raptor tracker has been updated with his move to Utah. I was wondering why he wasn't on any of the starting 15s that LA was putting out, or they weren't putting out anything with him at all. He's too good to just be sitting around, so I'm glad he's going to a place where he's going to get the chance to play, and he's going to another good team that's lighting it up this year. I'm rooting for the Warriors this year, I think. And, you know, like I've been talking about on the show, it takes a little bit to figure out who you're naturally rooting for. I think the Warriors are that team this year. Like I said, Arrows dropped their second match in a row. The Arrows are in a tough spot this year. They're headquartered in Atlanta, so everything's kind of just thrown off for them. It becomes hard to win rugby matches when you've got all this different stuff stacked up against you. But they've been playing. Like, their first match here was a close one against Rugby ATL. I think they'll be okay. It just needs to kind of get their sea legs under them a little bit. And then finally, the last match that I wanted to talk about, Legion beat up the Gilgronis. Late by a score of 14-11. Carlo Denishin scored the go-ahead try in that match. So like I mentioned earlier, always good to see former Raptors doing something, and especially scoring the try that won them the match. So fun stuff to watch this weekend. Been impressed with the Rugby Network again. No issues on my end. I'm not sure if that's the same for everybody else, but I haven't had any problems with it. And looking forward to a fun, you know, week three. So with that, we'll go ahead and jump into all the rugby that you can watch this weekend. So we'll start with the Pro 14 like we always do, but that's over. Leinster won the final last week. Six Nations is over as well. Wales ended up ended up at the top of the table. They ended up winning the competition. Premiership rugby is off for 2 weeks, so we don't have to talk about that for, like I said, a couple weeks till April 16th. And we'll start with the Lions Premier 15. So it looks like we only got one match on the schedule this week. That's DMP Durham Sharks versus Wasp FC Ladies. That's at 7 a.m. on Saturday, April 3rd. So I'm not sure if this one is live streamed or not, but I would assume if it's the only match this weekend. But if it is, you can catch it on England Rugby's Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Premier15s.com. Make sure you're checking that out. Super Rugby Australia. On Friday morning at 2:45, so it'll probably be over by the time you're listening to this podcast, unless you listen around when it comes out. We've got Waratahs versus the Brumbies, and on Saturday at 2:45 in the morning, we have the Rebels versus the Reds. Not sure where I think you can watch this play. I think you can watch these matches on ESPN Fans. I was going to talk about that, the Super Rugby Aotearoa part of the show, but I'm pretty sure they've been putting the Australia matches on there as well. I've watched the Super Rugby Aotearoa the last 2 weeks via this YouTube page. It's called ESPN Fans. and you know, it's just an ESPN channel. It's something I've never heard of, but it's a verified YouTube channel, and they've been streaming the matches. So I'd recommend checking that out. So we will go ahead and talk about the Super Rugby Aotearoa part or fixtures this weekend. Excuse me. So Friday morning at 12:05 a.m. we've got the Crusaders versus the Highlanders, and then Saturday at 12:05 a.m. as well, we have the Blues versus the Hurricanes. You can watch, like I said, you can watch those matches on this YouTube page, ESPN Fans. It's, like I said, it's worked for me the last 2 weeks. Hopefully that continues to be the case. So we go ahead and talk about the DNVR Rugby Pick of the Week. As always, we've been picking, you know, one or two matches from the competition every week. Last week was not my best week of all time. I went 0-2, but it's a minor setback for a major comeback here. I haven't learned my lesson, though, and I'm going to take both favorites. That's kind of what buried me last weekend. But taking Blues -7.5 and Crusaders -20.5, as crazy as that sounds. But they're good enough to do it. Highlanders haven't won a match since opening weekend. Then, you know, the Blues, they lost last weekend to the Chiefs. That's tough. Chiefs hadn't won a match in 2 years, I think. I think they're going to be angry. I think they're going to be hungry, and I think they're going to come out and put a beat down on the Hurricanes. That's what I'm hoping, at least. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. You can follow along with all my picks and the rest of the team's picks at the NVR by keeping up with the NVR bets, streaming Monday through Friday on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Like I said, those guys are a lot better gamblers than me, but I appreciate those that are riding with me, sticking with me. So we will crawl our way out of this 0-2 hole. It's just as easy to go 2-0 as it is to go 0-2. Like I said, if you want better picks than that, go to DNVR Bets, DNVR _bets on Twitter. Like I said, streaming Monday through Friday on all of those platforms. So make sure you go and check that out. We got baseball starting up, you know, a lot more stuff to gamble on. So, all right, now we jump into Major League Rugby Round 3 action. Looks like we got four matches all on Saturday. There's a couple teams on bye, so two less matches than we'll usually have. But the first one, Saturday, April 3rd at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time on CBS Sports Network. We've got Utah Warriors at the New England Free Jacks. On Saturday at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, we've got Toronto Arrows at Old Glory DC. You can watch that one on the Rugby Network. On Saturday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, we have San Diego Legion at Rugby ATL. That's on Fox Sports 2. And then on Saturday as well at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, we have Houston Sabercats at Austin Gil Gronies. That's the Texas Cup. And you can watch that one on the Rugby Network as well. With that, we'll go ahead and jump into the interview portion of the show. Like I mentioned at the top of the episode, we've got Colorado XO scrum half Brady Daniel on today. Brady's an interesting cat. Played football and wrestled at Arizona State. Played a little bit of rugby in high school. His brother, Corey, currently plays flanker for Old Glory DC. He's kind of got a cool crossover athlete story as well. But we got into all that in this episode. I really enjoyed talking to Brady, and I hope you all enjoy listening to it. So with that, we'll go ahead and kick it to my conversation with Colorado XO scrum half Brady Daniel. All right, now welcome onto the show, Colorado XO scrum half Brady Daniel. Brady, how's it going, man?
Going well, Colton. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for joining me. I know you guys have a few days off, so I appreciate you carving out a little bit of your time for me today. So, Brady, the first question we ask everybody that comes on the show is just, can you tell me a little bit about where you're from?
Yeah, I'm originally from Maryland. Was born and raised there, and then I got recruited from Arizona State to wrestle there in college. Did that for a little bit of time. Ended my senior year with a little bit of football, and then when COVID hit, transitioned over to rugby, and then now I'm here.
Interesting. I didn't know you played football at ASU as well.
Yeah.
We're going to get into all that, though. So that okay. kind of leads into the question is, like, can you just tell me a little bit about your athletic career? I know you did a little bit, but what did you do in high school? And then just kind of tell me about, you know, when did you decide, like, wrestling was something you wanted to take serious, and what that recruitment process was like to go to ASU?
For sure. So growing up, I have an older brother that's, like, three and a half years older than me. Yeah. So he was the first one to get into anything that we did. Football, wrestling, did a little bit of track, lacrosse, way back when we were young. And then I guess at one point my dad just realized that, hey, we're going to be pretty good at wrestling, so we have to do what we need to do for that. And I was in middle school, elementary school, going to elite, like, camps and practices during the week, this and that. And then when middle school came around, it was wrestling and football only. I did a little bit of lacrosse in there during the summer, but once wrestling was something that was like a concrete like future for me, whether that was college or post college or whatnot. We kind of just got rid of lacrosse, and any free time I had, it was wrestling.
Yeah.
So football was fall, and that was it. And then any extra time, wrestling was only in the winter season, but we spent spring and summer training for wrestling.
Right.
So I did that, just those two for as long as I can remember. And then I'd say, so I guess to build on that, I was in high school wrestling, playing football at River Hill, a public school. And then at one point, my wrestling coach there, he took a different job in the school, couldn't coach. So I transferred over to a private school with wrestling in mind. And then when I got there, it was like, wow, this school is really freaking good at football. And so my last 2 years of high school, I was like, damn, do I want to wrestle? Do I want to play football? And so I kind of made that transition to focus more on football. But the way college recruiting set up, the way high school recruiting set up, I would have had to been there freshman year to get the looks I was expecting. Wow. By the time I graduated.
Yeah.
So I wrote out football. I did fairly well. Had some offers out of high school, but I was kind of set on whether it was a big school or D1 or both. And I remember 2 weeks before National Signing Day in mid-April, I was like, I'm going to play football. And then it's like, football's not going to work out. I started calling up wrestling coaches again. And luckily, Arizona State, they still had a spot open for me.
Yeah.
My high school coach was coached by Zeke Jones, the head coach at Arizona State,
yeah,
back in college when he was at West Virginia.
Okay.
So Zeke Jones, head coach of West Virginia, my high school coach, wrestled for him. He went back to Maryland. Zeke went out to Arizona State. So I got that connection there. And then I don't know, I just did wrestling, committed to that, went with it, came in at heavyweight. I mean, all the guys here know me as 200, 205. I was 230 going into.
I was looking at your little bio on Arizona State's website, and they had you listed at 285 at one point.
Right. So
was that a typo? Or
no.
Were that big.
Then I was never 285. Okay. The weight class I wrestled
okay,
in.
Okay.
So for weight classes in wrestling, it's always like the numbers, like the max weight class. So just like UFC fighting, flyweight, all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever that weight is, they can't be above that.
Okay.
So for college, well, for high school wrestling, the weight classes at the end of it go 195, 220, 285. College, okay, there is no 220.
Okay.
And it's not even 195, it's 197, and then it's 285.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not 200 or 205 and less to wrestle 197, I had to wrestle 285, yeah. And so my brother, he was the heavyweight at UNC, and based on how he was looking, based on how I thought I could do, I thought, you know, 1 to 2 years, I could make it to 250, maybe be a solid heavyweight. I never got the growth spurt I was expecting and all that. So I went through my first 2 years as a really small heavyweight. I got a lot of great technique and training. I mean, our starting heavyweight was the when I came in, he was the number 3 in the nation. He took third at NCAAs the year before. So I got to train under him. And then our assistant coach, Pendleton, he's now head coach at Oregon State. They both helped me out a lot. So they helped me be a good heavyweight. I just wasn't physically there.
Mm-hmm.
And then so junior year, that's when I was like, I don't think this is not going to work out for me. Over that summer, I was like, I think I'm going to do 197. And so I lost a lot of weight, came into junior year at like 205, 200, and that was pretty good. I actually had my roommate was the starting 197, and then a good friend of mine was the other 197. So we had a little trifecta of competitiveness every day in the practice room, this and that, for that position. And with wrestling, I mean, unless you're starting, it's a lot of work just to work. So that's kind of how I got into football, because I was like, I don't really want to be doing all this work just to maybe get a match or two or maybe start this and that. And I mean, I had been wrestling my whole life, so I kind of felt like I was kind of burned out in a way too.
For sure.
You know, it was because, you know, with wrestling after college, unless you're number 1 through 10 in the entire world or country, you're not making money,
mm-hmm,
and you're not going to really be competing that, I mean, as often or, you know, as much as you'd like.
Right.
So like, all right, well, wrestling, I had fun. I think I'm going to move on. And so I was like, I guess I should try football.
Yeah.
I don't know how it even started. I was like not happy with wrestling. I wanted to keep doing something. I still had technically 2 years of eligibility left because I redshirted. But I just spent like a few weeks in the spring of last, or I guess 2 years ago before COVID.
2019?
Yeah, the spring of 2019. I spent like 2 or 3 weeks every day walking into the football facilities trying to find a coach who wants to talk to me or trying to – because our football facilities at ASU is like – our campus is set up where the stadium's at the very top, mm-hmm. and then everything, like all school buildings and stuff is all south of there.
Right.
And then they added addition on like either my freshman or sophomore year. So everything for football is on the north end, and they're secluded. So they have a weight room, a practice field. They have a dining hall. Yeah, they have everything you need.
Yeah.
So unless you're on the football team or the staff, it's like you need security. You need a passcode. You need all this credentials to get in.
That's interesting to me, though. You wouldn't have an in with wrestling, and like maybe that's eventually like how you got in. But I would think there would be somebody like in the wrestling staff that could vouch for you, and you know, be like, oh, I know this guy, you know, you all work in the same athletic department, even if it's a little secluded.
You would think. I mean, I'm pretty sure off the top of my head, Coach Zeke and Coach Herm Edwards, the head coach of those two teams, they were tight. But the way wrestling is, or a D1 sport, it's like you're here for that and nothing else matters. So I don't know whether I could have asked Zeke or my coaches to get me in or whatnot, but I was like, I don't know. I'm someone who's used to doing things on my own, so I was like, I'm going to figure it out. Talking with my dad about it. I guess I actually had, back in high school when I transferred over to the private school, it was set up like a small college where we had like 10 different coaches, mm-hmm. and one of our coaches was like purely his title was just to be a recruiter. So he was a high school football coach, and he had college coaches in his office every day of the week type of thing.
Wow.
So he was someone I actually made contact to during that process. I'm not sure whether he was able to help out or not. I just know one day I found a guy who was part of the recruiting department. Luckily, he brought me in, and I had already emailed them. See, that was the big thing, was that most colleges, they'll advertise, oh, we have spring training coming up, or we're going to be doing spring stuff here and here. And that was before COVID, too. I think it was mainly a Herm Edwards thing where it's like, we want to focus on the guys we have and the guys that we know that we can have or will bring in.
Kind of, because maybe being like a former NFL guy, he doesn't really run the college program like a typical college program, for better or worse.
Exactly, it's more business-oriented than, you know, whatever else you want to call it. Kind of went on, and I got in there, I got the recruiting guy, and I had already emailed him before, too. I emailed, like, half their staff. I told them all my name information, sent them out my resume. All the same resume I was sending to college coaches back in high school. I was like, here's what I did, wrestling, football, this and that. And I think the fact that I did wrestle at ASU really helped. It's just they didn't really – whether they didn't, like, spend enough time looking at what I sent them or whether they were just so focused on their guys. But it wasn't like – I emailed this guy – 2 weeks before I finally got in there, and then the guy who brought me into the offices introduced me to the guy who I'm supposed to email, and I was like, hey, I hit you up 2 weeks ago, and the week before, and last week. Go check your freaking email, right?
And squeaky wheel gets the grease,
exactly,
right?
That's what they say. Exactly, and that's what I did for 3 weeks. Every other day or every day I was in there trying to find someone. So luckily, they were all just talking, chit-chatting, and told the guy my name. He went to his computer, brought it right up. He's like, oh, yeah, I got you. So I'm going to take a look at this. I'm going to go talk to our coaches, and we'll get back to you. And before I knew it, I want to say that was like a Wednesday that week. Mm-hmm. I got a call on Friday, and the running backs coach, the head running backs coach, actually, I think his name was Aguano, A-G-U-A-N-O.
Mm-hmm.
He called me, and he was like, hey, like, I saw your film. I know that you're a wrestler. I know that you're already a student at ASU. That makes it even easier.
Yeah, because you're in. They don't have to worry about grades and all that stuff.
So just a little transfer of NCAA BS, whatever they do nonsense with their paperwork. for sports. I got in there. He gave me a call. I came in the next week. I spoke to the offensive coordinator and the running backs coach. And before I knew it, they said, they want to take me on as a walk-on, happy to have me. The big thing was that I was very happy to be there except as a walk-on. It's just they took me as a fullback.
Yeah.
And I played defense from like.
That's what I was going to ask. I remember looking at your bio again, and it said you were like 100 tackle season, three yes. consecutive seasons.
Yes.
So that's interesting. You just flip flop.
I would like to say I was one of the best linebackers we had in WCAC. And part of that also, you know, I said if I wanted to get recruited at what I was expecting, I should have been in there freshman year instead of transferring over. Well, I think that was the same thing in regards to, like, the politics they had around football.
Yeah.
Because based on the stats and whatnot, at the end of my senior year, I had the most tackles in the entire conference.
Right.
And I didn't even make honorable mention. There right. was first, second, and honorable mention. I didn't even make that. I was like, all right, well, yeah, what the hell's going on here?
How does this work? Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had gave it to a linebacker from one of the yeah, worst
what's,
schools.
What's
and,
the point of even keeping yeah, exactly. track at that point?
Because it's really – I was asking my coach, like, hey, like, I mean – I see my stats. Are you guys looking at the same numbers as I am?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, like, it's kind of just, it's that political BS that you get in, I mean, you get in all sports. Everything, I mean, football, yeah. majority.
For sure.
But it's like the coaches of other teams kind of have to, like, also know who these players yeah, are.
On and, board.
Yeah, so they didn't know who I was. They just saw me on a piece of paper. They're like, yeah, who's this kid? Like, yeah. Yeah, they don't know. Yeah, all that. So that's kind of like that same political stuff kind of happens at it didn't really happen at ASU. I wasn't even there long enough to experience it, but just the fact that, you know,
yeah, but even to just, I mean, look, like you just said, if any, it would seem like it would make the most sense to put you where you had played before,
exactly,
and where you're comfortable, and not just
exactly
insert
yeah.
you at fullback for because
right
who knows
so
why.
They were looking at me like, oh,
they even run like a fullback offense.
So they started to get into it now,
okay.
term there,
yeah.
But they had us grouped up as with like the tight ends. So we had the starting fullback, and then like our three and four tight ends of the team. And like when I first got there, we were all rotating between, I guess you would call it like a hybrid offense or something.
H-back type of
So we had like some tight ends who were in there. They could pass or they could catch and they could block.
Yeah.
Some who could just block. And then, like, some who could just catch. So, if they're in there, you know, all right, well, it's probably going to be a pass play. If this guy's in here, we're probably going to run an option or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, it was kind of like a whole rotation between me, the starting fullback, to learn fullback positioning. And then we would also get thrown in to go be blockers for like as a tight end. And, well, for me as a tight end, I'm a foot shorter than anything you'd expect at a Division I tight end.
Yeah.
But, like... That whole thing was just like, so they saw me as an athlete, but I never played offense. I played offense freshman year of high school, and that was it. I'm a wrestler, and I played linebacker. Like, the fact that I'm a wrestler, I would think, okay.
Very literally, what, like 8 years removed from that point
of
your
life? Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, so you guys know I'm a wrestler. You know I played football. My highlight tape is 3 or 2 years of football or of linebacker film. So – you should put me a linebacker. But they just, they were like, no, we have enough linebacker. Like, I mean, no, like, in regards to them, they did have who they consider one of the best linebackers in the Pac-12. He got freshman defensive player of the year, and he's doing really well. But as I watched film, like, they run like a 3-5. He's the middle linebacker. Their two outside linebackers are decent, but they were getting rotated a lot. And obviously that's because they weren't sure who was going to be a good starter. And I know I was a bit undersized, but I don't know. I was hoping at least for a shot. But I was happy to be there. Offense was, you know, what it was. The big thing was that they recruited me. They told me on Monday I was good to go. I spent, like, the next few days coming in there. I got some gear, got a locker, got all the other red tape you got to go through. And then Monday, first day of practice, I also get handed the playbook that I was supposed to – you know, I was supposed to learn and this, that. And
everybody already heard.
Everybody else had it 6 weeks ago. I'm like, all right, coach. So, I mean, I did what I could. I mean, I spent every waking hour I felt like trying to learn that playbook. But it was like one offensive play was like a complete sentence in class. It's like Houston, Texas, like.
Yeah, this means this, and there's like two options in every different.
We had like words and assignments for the linemen. Motions for the backs, plays for the wide receivers and the backs. So we had like 6 to like, I don't even know how to explain it. We had like 10 to 12 different sets of words for one play.
Do you remember a play? I like listening to these.
Honestly, off the top of my head, no. I mean, I know that like, So, like, for our formation, we could say, like, truck right, Arizona. I want to say, like, truck right, something with the motion, Arizona yeah. 9 or something. So truck right is how the tight end, the fullback line up. There is a motion in there for either the running back or one of the slots.
Yeah.
And then Arizona 9 is like a pass play, and 9 is like the key wide receiver or something.
Okay.
So it's like, I think what I just said even wasn't even spot on.
Right, right. But that's understandable. That was 2 years ago,
I actually still have my whole playbook at home, too. Because they sent us, I came in on a Monday. We had 2 weeks of spring practice. We had a spring break, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
At the end of spring break on Sunday, I fly back to Arizona expecting to start practice on Monday. Monday morning, we sit in the meeting for like 2-3 hours with all the COVID protocols set up. Everyone's like 6 feet apart, mask on, all the other stuff. And then after that meeting, we go get our lunch, and he's like, so guys, this is how we're going to, you know, do lunch for the time being. Like, we're all going to get it outside, you know. For those who are cleared and can work out, like, we'll bring you in. We'll contact you separately. So they started, like, making all these, like, gestures toward, like, hey, this is going to be a slow process. It's going to be individual. It sounds like we're not really going to be doing any team stuff. And then, like, an hour later, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, actually, we're done. we're off. You guys have to go home, and we're just going to be on Zoom for the next, because that's right when COVID hit.
Right. I mean, yeah, it was changing by the hour at that point.
Yeah, that's what, exactly. Like, we were in that meeting every 10 minutes, something different was getting told, like, on Twitter, on media, all that. And so I guess the big thing was just, like, they were trying to, like, we kind of thought, you know, Division I football, got a lot of money, you can make something work, just for how, like, sure. NBA made it work and stuff pretty fairly quickly. But, I mean, this was the week it happened. So, unfortunately, they sent us home. We didn't get to finish our last 2 weeks of spring ball. I got maybe like 20 reps over 2 weeks just because I didn't know what was going on. I got more reps blocking than anything. And even then it's just like, cause like they would tell me the play and I'm just like, all right, how about, can you just tell me what I need to do? Yeah, because I don't know what these words mean yet.
Right, right, right.
And it's just, all that.
Yeah.
Like, even like once I got in there, you get a firsthand like view of like the politics as well. And like, so I definitely like some of the tight ends I was with, I was like, yeah, these guys are solid. Like they're good guys. And some of these guys are also like not that great, but our coach was, you know, hyping them up. Well, yeah, like don't worry about it. Like just, you know, run a better cut or, run your route a little better. Like, you know, yeah, like don't drop the ball, just catch it. It's like,
just catch it.
Bro, you gotta recruit to be a tight end and you know what I mean?
You can't,
Or you're not making blocks. It's like you're 6'7", 240, and you don't want to hit, like.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, I was happy to have that experience. I was kind of happy with it all. Like, I got put in kind of, you could say, a shitty situation in football, but I was happy to get out of wrestling. I was happy to transition to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then with COVID coming in, football cut me off middle of the spring training. We got sent home and we had like, I think 2 or 3 times a week, we had like an hour long Zoom meeting with our tight ends coach. So it was me, him, or we had 2 other coaches with the group, and then me, the other fullback, and then like 4 or 5 tight ends. So a meeting of like 10 of us, and like once a week or once every 2 weeks, we had a full team Zoom meeting. And that's where Herm and the other guys were talking this and that. And then,
What are you even going over in those meetings at that point? Because there's like nothing really to prepare for,
to be
honest.
That's a great question. It's mainly, so a lot of it was like with football, like they do tons of film. And like, and that being said, like they also have tons of film. So like when we were in spring training, we were watching film on whether it was like our opponents from last year and how we ran that offense against them, or it was how we ran that offense at practice. And I guess the big thing was when we were back home on Zoom, we were mainly watching our practices. So our coach would have us either watch a practice and break down what you did, similar kind of what we've kind of done here once or twice with rugby, or we'd watch like our team session and our coach would be like, all right, so what play was ran here? Who did what right? Like, what did you, like, he just wanted us to focus on ourselves mainly. Yeah, so fullbacks and tight ends, what did you do properly? Were your alignment set up? Did you hit the right man? This and that. And then sometimes we were watching like ASU play teams from last year and just offensive clips and how like certain plays that were like, or they would give us the clip, give us the play, and be like, all right, so was this play ran properly? And you have to analyze and, you know, pull out, like point out what's going on. So that was like a good learning experience, I guess you could say, but it was all on my own. So I kind of felt like if I had any issues, it's like, I didn't really have anyone to help me there. I was kind of just hoping it felt like it seemed right, this and that. And like the biggest thing was I felt like, excuse me.
No, you're good. I was going to say that makes me think I remember my freshman year of college, I like tested into two online math classes. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. It was like I would do it. I would think I would do it right. And then I would go into the center and I would just bomb the test.
Yeah.
And I had to withdraw because it's like, well, there's nobody here telling me like what I'm doing right or wrong.
Right,
so
right.
They I just, think people can relate to that. Yeah.
Shit. I mean, I went through the same thing. Good counts. So I was in AP classes thinking, hey, I need to get a B in this class. So college shows I had an A in a hard class. Maybe I'll get some academic money, or maybe I'll get a better be accepted
test, sooner. Test out a place out of this thing in college.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's a lot of hoops to jump through and a lot of stuff, a lot of BS is pretty much how I'd put it.
So you're at home, you're working through all this stuff, like, then what kind of goes on? Is this summertime now? Or?
Yeah. So I want to say, like, we got sent home middle of March. And so March, April, June, I want to say it was around my birthday. So my birthday is the end of June. I want to say either right before that or right after that, we had just finished up like a Zoom meeting. It was either like a Sunday or a Monday, whether we were going to have one that afternoon or something. Mm-hmm. And my coach calls me on the phone and visually he's like, hey, Brady, as soon as he called me, I was like, this can't be good. I was like, my coach never calls me.
Yeah.
He calls me on my phone directly. No one else is here to listen. Like, this can't be good. And I already knew, like, he was like, hey, Brady, like, how's it going? This is, I can't even remember his name. This is coach whatever. I hate to make these type of calls, but it's just about that time, this and that. I'm like, all right, coach, just give it to me straight. Like, what's up? Like, all right, I'm getting cut. All right, I figured that was going to happen at some point. I just, didn't know that was going to be now, this and that.
Yeah.
And I even, like, I wanted to say, like, you know what, I've been improving. Like, those 2.5 months of us just being on Zoom, I spent time with my dad and my brother, and I learned the plays. I was running them in the front yard. Like, I felt like I was doing everything I could to get them down. So once we do come back, I'm like, all right, I don't need any help. Just throw me in there and I'll excel at the few reps I get rather than me asking, what do I do here? Where do I line up? Who do I hit? This and that. I felt like I was picking it up. But unfortunately, there's no time wasted at that level. So that was right when the NCAA was telling schools, like, hey, if you have the right protocols in place,
you can start
bringing back like the critical people or like the minimum number. And for me and all the other walk-ons, well, we weren't part of that group. And so that's kind of just that whole little stint ended. It was fun while it lasted. Got some free gear.
Yeah. Like you said, and it's an experience. There's a lot of people I'm sure wish played college football.
Definitely.
You might not have been what you were expecting or looking for, but something that you did. So I guess like you're kind of leading into the timeline of getting recruited to the XOs, right? So can you explain how that kind of happened then?
Yeah, definitely. So once football was done and over with, I was in the middle of summer. My brother, Corey, he's about 3.5 years older than me. He plays flanker for Old Glory, actually. Yeah.
He was on my list of questions,
So he's actually he's the one. Like I was saying, when we were younger, he did football first. He did wrestling first. I followed in his footsteps. So my wrestling career started to end. I got into football. Luckily, Corey, he wanted to do that. Wasn't able to, or not yet per se. And so he was just home training, and we just spent all of like June, July. Well, actually, I guess. Yeah, June through August, the summer, we spent all that time playing rugby, playing touch. So, like, I played a year in high school at Good Counsel. So I had been around the sport enough where it's like...
You had a general familiarity
with someone off the street, they pick up a rugby ball, it's like, how do I throw this? They want to throw it overhand or something like that. So, like, I understood, the passing, I understood that, how to run the ball, like this and that. So the gist of it, I understood. Mm-hmm. He had already been a year into playing professionally, and he was home chilling. He was getting into playing sevens. So, We were playing touch sevens all throughout the summer. And then I went to school in Arizona, or I went back to school in the fall, this past fall. And so I just continued playing rugby out there as well. It was like two or three times a week. And then actually when we were back home for winter break, it was like a week or less than a week after the new year. Mm-hmm. And Coach Pete Pask, he called my brother, and he was inviting him to come back because my brother did this thing last year, which it wasn't the Crossover Academy. It was the
Wasn't it like the Rugby America's North
Yeah, like
or
the World
camp?
Rugby. Yeah, all
it's
that.
Like a combine type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was similar to this where it's like they came here to train. They were here for like 3 or 4 months. And they were just here to get better at rugby and learn rugby and like get to the next level. The difference with them is that they only played like two games and one tournament. And so far we've had a game like almost every weekend. Which is really nice and also the best way for us to learn rugby is like actual play it.
Because the practice isn't fun. Like that's never the fun part. You play to play the game. So.
Exactly. And I remember when I first learned, I was in high school, I had to go to council going through practice, and my coach was like, hey, like I was getting it, but I would always be asking these questions. He's like, honestly, I can't really tell you. You have to wait till we play the game. Like there's things that as
that's
much
true, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Like I would like to explain to you, but you won't understand until you're actually in a game. Like, you know how people are moving the way they are, this and that.
Yeah,
so it's like, you need to be in there firsthand to finally like make things start to click. I guess to build on that, my brother, he got a call from Pete, got invited back to do this academy, mm-hmm. and him already being with Old Glory, he was like, you know what? I mean, I have what I need. I'm happy with my position, all that. So he actually on the phone, he was like, hey, I'm good, but my younger brother, Brady, would be interested. He wrestled in college. He played football. He did a little bit of rugby, this and that. And Pete's like, oh, yeah, I mean, that sounds great. I mean, looking at you, Corey, I could imagine your brother should be pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I'm just a little smaller, just 3 inches. but, yeah,
that's
so
funny.
Pete called Corey for like 15, 20 minutes on one day. I ended up emailing Pete like the other, like a few days after that. And then he called me, him and Pete, Borlase actually, mm-hmm. the next week. And me, and then like both my parents, and actually Corey was there too. We spoke on the phone for like an hour, hour and a half. And that was kind of that. I mean, we talked about rugby, talked about the academy. I had sent him my football highlight tapes, same one I gave to ASU.
Things made the rounds,
yeah.
man.
Exactly. Yeah. And I sent some wrestling clips as well from Arizona State and like, you know, this and that. And he was like, oh, that sounds great. Like, you're an athlete. I know wrestlers are, you know, we don't have to worry about their conditioning. They should be able to tackle fairly well. They know how to make a double leg. Like, that's what rugby tackling is. So then he sent me a contract, signed that. And then like the next week I flew out to Arizona. Packed up some of my apartment and then drove up here actually with Corey and moved in here. And then that was that.
Cool, man. Was it a tough decision? I guess after that call on the phone was
to
it,
make rug to do
to
rugby.
Here, yeah,
oh,
to do
not
this.
At all. I had nothing else going on. Yeah. I mean, football ended and like, I have this innate, like just feeling to always want to do like something athletically.
Yeah.
Like I just don't want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to compete. Exactly. I don't want to go make money sitting on a desk 9 to 5, all that. I mean, maybe one point I'll get there.
Yeah.
But for now,
I had the same conversation with Tani a couple weeks ago. He was saying the same thing. He's like, you only have so much time in your life to be able to do this. So
exactly.
You might as well explore every opportunity that comes.
Yeah.
Your way,
and if you're someone who started at a young age and have that drive to compete in this and that, you don't want to get rid of it until you have to.
Yeah.
Until something else stops you, whether it's your body or, you know, you're at a point where there's, you know, whatever.
You got to make a decision, you know, for your family or something.
Exactly. Right. And so I was just like, all right, well, I can't stop now. I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I call it a NARP, a normal ass regular person, someone who doesn't play a sport.
Yeah.
I don't know. My brother had a little joke.
I've heard that before.
but yeah. So the decision wasn't hard at all. I was just trying to figure out, okay, so I flew back to Maryland from school for a break. Now, all my stuff's back in Arizona. How do I get to Colorado? I mean, that was like probably the biggest issue.
Yeah.
But in regards to committing to come up here for 5 months and play rugby, I was like, my whole plan was to play rugby next. I mean, I have to get through school until May, but after that, it's like, I want to go do something. Wrestling, I mean, I'm done with wrestling. Football, I don't know if football will ever work out. I mean, I still have a year of eligibility, but I don't want to stay in school just to play football, like that type of thing. So yeah, wrestling or rugby was going to be the next step for me. That's whether that was going to be up here in Colorado or staying in Maryland doing stuff or going back to Arizona and finding something to do for rugby. But I mean, this was the best and only opportunity I had, and so I was going to take it. And I was, I was happy to take it.
Timing is everything, right?
That's exactly. That too. I just got kind of lucky on the on the timing.
So, I mean, I think you're in the right place just kind of based on what you said. It kind of sounds like everything's working out the way that you anticipated. So you've been playing nine, though. Was that what you played in high school, or did you just kind of bounce around the backs, or how did you kind of settle into playing scrum half?
So my 1 year in high school, I played flanker.
Okay.
So I think I was a seven, the open side flanker. Just that's exactly my brother's playing now for Old Glory. So that was like, so in high school, I was just there. I was like an athlete among non athletes in a way. So they put me at flanker. I caught every ball off a line out. I was in the scrum a little bit, or, you know, every scrum, maybe some picks or whatnot. But I was just there to run the ball and hit people.
And make tackles.
Yeah, exactly. So when I came here to the EXO Academy, I guess it was set up in a way where they were just trying to feel us out. Like they knew we were all athletes, but they're trying to figure out what we were really good at or what we could do, what we couldn't do, this and that. And so initially I thought I was going to come in and play wing actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, like, compared to our team, I'm not big enough to be a flanker. Compared to most other...
These guys, this is a huge team.
Compared to most other rugby teams, I could put on, like, 10 pounds. And
you
fit
could
in.
Get away with it, but...
But with this team, we have NFL-sized players and whatnot. I guess just the first few weeks, I was kind of feeling it out. I was getting reps at wing. We had, like, I think we had five or six different wings for two spots. So I was just like... going through it, like, I knew I had a little bit of rugby skills up on everyone, but it's like, I guess after the first week or two, Mose and Mark started to implement plays, and like I was picking those up, and then
so a lot easier than football plays, right?
Oh yeah.
So two words and
it's one word and it's just like you pretty much half of you run the same thing every time. Straight line or whatnot.
Straight line,
you
over
know,
under
to,
that's it. There's not too many different things you can do.
It's simple communication. Football is very complicated for a simple thing you do is what it seems like. Say a whole sentence for one person to block, one person and one person to run one route, all that. So for me, I kind of was, I guess I would say, I was coming in, I was at a wing. I wanted to play flanker only because I was in the action more. I could get the ball, but I was also in a spot where I could always find someone I could hit.
Right.
Like on the wing, it's like, unless the ball makes out to the wing, you're not going to go up and just hit someone for no reason type of thing. So I started doing that, and then it was actually, I want to say it was the week of our first game. Either the week of or the week before NOLA, Coach Mark came up to me after practice and pulled me aside. And he was like, hey, I want to talk to you for a second. You know, Coach Mose and I have been speaking, Coach Luke and I a little bit. And, you know, we think athletically you're built to, you know, you could do wing, you could maybe do flanker. But mentally, like, you have, I don't know, you have the wherewithal where you can understand what goes on enough where – we think you'd be a good scrum half. And I didn't know what to say at the time, but I guess I was like, I was kind of happy, but also like, I don't know. I felt like I was in the middle of me working for the starting spot at wing or something.
Right.
I mean, I felt like the coach is going to take me away from all the effort I just put in. I'm trying to be on the field. And he's like, well, we know, you know, you're going to be a new player, but with your abilities and like what we can teach you, we think you could be a great scrum half, this and that. And, yeah, I mean, I couldn't really say no to Mark either. He was like, hey, you want to play scrum? I was like, do I say no and just go back to wing? Is he going to let me play at wing if I told him about it? You know what I mean? It's like,
especially, it seems like, I mean, primarily it's just been you and Bandy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just been you two.
It's really, it's really just us. And like, technically, what's kind of cool about it is most rugby teams always have two scrum halves. So yeah. It's like, it's not like, oh, you're going to have a, you might have a backup flanker this game. You might have a backup prop. It's like, you always have two scrum halves no matter what.
For sure.
So that's like a, that's kind of like a nice.
Like insurance policy. Yeah. Right? Like you know that you're going to get some time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and so I was like, okay, I guess this will work. I mean, I don't really know where I was going to end up anyways. Like I was coming in here with the mindset to get better at rugby and to win games, not essentially like, you know, I mean, football is like, if you play cornerback your whole freaking life. Yeah, with rugby, like when you get to the top level, you're not really going to change positions. But right now I kind of felt like I was just trying to feel it out.
You have the ability to see what you like and see what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, feel it out, figure out where you fit
in. I mean,
in.
That's good because I mean, maybe you know, but I feel like, I covered the Broncos for a season, so I was, like, in the locker room a lot.
Okay, yeah.
And I've learned, like, a lot – you know, it's not unfair to say, like, a lot of the best corners are the best – they don't even like doing that. Like, they don't want to play corner. They want to do something else. So, like, this is an opportunity for you to actually find something you like to do, like play a position you want to play.
Yeah, yeah, so, I feel that. I've heard that before. It's like you've been doing it for 15 years of your life.
Like, yeah, it's like you're saying with wrestling. You get burnt out on it, you know?
Right, it's the same.
There's some variation in rugby, I guess. You don't – it's harder to get burned out on because you are doing so many different things. Yeah. You're doing everything.
Yeah, and that's pretty nice. And that's what I started to realize, like wrestling, it's like I'm still doing this because I'm good at it, but it's like if I'm doing the same shit every damn year, every damn day, it's like I'm getting burned out. And then I figured with football, at some point I was going to be like – I was probably going to get burned out too, but I mean, I never made it that far. So didn't get that chance.
That's
but,
all right.
But yeah, with rugby, it's like, I mean, everyone's running, everyone's passing, everyone's tackling. And now it's just, you know, where are you going to end up on the field for? Are you going to get the ball? Are you going to end up like three phases away from the ball so you're ready for it, you know, over here, this and that? So it's all – It's like a game of chess in a way because you got to think four steps ahead,
right?
So you can choose what to do now. So you know what I mean, and so that same concept's kind of like, all right, well, do I want to play flanker where most of the time I'm gonna be around the ball with, you know, in the scrum or in the lineout hitting someone, or do I want to be on the wing where all I do is just run and maybe
it's a waiting game, especially you know, even with this team, like a lot of people still learning how to play. Sometimes the ball doesn't make it all the way out to the wing, you know, so.
More times than not, So, yeah, that's a team thing we're going to have to figure out.
But, yeah.
me personally, so.
It will come. It will come with time.
With what you just said, with, you know, the whole, like, being integrated into the play of the, like.
You're always involved now, especially at nine. Like, you're always right there. You're always. You run the show, essentially.
Yeah.
Like you are the center of the play.
So, yeah, I mean, like, once Mark told me, like, he's going to move me over, and I practiced a week and a half, 2 weeks. I went to NOLA, played a little bit in that game, and I was like, I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah.
I was like, my passing is very, I mean, it was pretty shitty. Like, my right hand was decent just because it's my right hand.
Yeah.
My left hand was horrible, I felt like, and then it was like, I was always like scared to like make a right pass or like, oh, like, should I pass it to him or should I pass, like, I don't know. I was letting my mind run when I should have
thinking too much.
Yeah, exactly. And so it really wasn't until I want to say last game, like the second game we played in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, who did we play?
Belmont.
Yeah.
Or then SoFlo last weekend.
Yeah.
So it was All Stars,
right?
The first LA All-Stars trip, and then the Belmont Shore was that second match,
right?
In LA, right?
So I want to say, in when we played Belmont, so our third game, our second trip to LA, that it wasn't until after that game where I came into practice like that next week, and I was like, all right, it's starting to click. Like, I know I control everything.
Yeah,
I have the ball. I'm like the quarterback. So now it's like, I get to choose, do we pass the ball fast and play fastball? Do I pass the ball slow and play slow ball? Do I tell the forwards to go set up Ram on the other side, or should I call Chiefs, or should I tell Dan to move over and we run back line, and that? Like, I mean, I still have no idea how to kick a ball, so I can't do that. But I understand, like, I'm like the chess master because I can move these pieces around here.
You dictate the pattern, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Like, you... That's cool, man.
And so, like, when he first switched me over and he threw me into practice, I was doing all the passing, this and that, I was like, I don't know anything I'm doing. I don't, you expect me to learn how to pass and then also tell all these guys what to do? It's yeah. like, but luckily I just, you know, stayed focused on it. I had a few good, like, decent friends of mine, Campbell on the team. Yeah. He played with my brother here last year with, like, the academy. There's this friend of mine, Genesis, who works here in Glendale, played a little bit here last year. And then we actually had that kid, Max Dacey, come in, like, him and then Simu last week. They all have at least 2 years of experience, way more experience than anyone on our team. But, yeah, so, like, right when I got switched over, I started spending more time passing the ball, working on technique, like understanding how I come into a ruck so I can identify the defense and the offense, this and that. So I spent, first I spent tons of time passing with my roommate, Jordan. He was always there to help me out, catch this and that, him and Casey. And then just had to shout him out a little bit. like and then once I started getting into, I guess just to build on that, I was going to Soup and Genesis to help. Genesis helped me with like, technique and also helped me with drills that made me felt like more powerful with like banded passes, things like that, like off the knee, this and that. And then Soup, I just spent tons of time just picking his brain with like, hey, like if we're here on this side of the field at this end of the field, like should I be like, what should I do or what should I call this and that? Or like, hey, if I'm here and you're over here, like, and I don't feel like I can get the ball there, like what should I do? You know, he tells me to pull it from the ruck and then do it because you have a bit more power, you know, if you're moving into it, this and that. And I'm like, okay, so I'm taking all these things into consideration. A lot of it goes over my head a little. But as the days go on, I continue to work at it. Like, I improved and, like, I mean, I know I'm far from even probably any good at it, but I'm just mentally I'm more comfortable. That's so great. I have that confidence to continue to learn and get better. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm happy to, like, for the constructive criticism that comes along with that as well. Yeah. So at this point I would say I'm happy at being scrum half. Yeah. I'm comfortable with it and I'm just excited for
And you're having fun, right?
Exactly. With rugby, I'm always having fun.
That's good.
Because after football and wrestling, it's like, this is the perfect combination.
Yeah.
I get to hit people. I get to run the ball and I don't have to worry about someone putting their head into the side of me or something or like getting blindsided or, you know, all this. It's me versus you, and that's it. Yeah. So.
That's cool, man. That's awesome to hear. I guess I got a couple more before I let you go, Brady, but I'm kind of interested. You said your brother played for Old Glory. Like, what does he think about this whole experiment, like being a crossover athlete himself in a way? Like, does he like it? Because I know this is not the most popular thing, like, in the rugby community. There's a lot of people that aren't jazzed about it, like just kind of wondering, you know, if you've talked to him about this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, him coming from a similar background as me, it's like he's also, like, as you said, a crossover athlete. I mean, I feel like in regards to the stigma this academy has taken within the rugby community, it's kind of like with things in the wrestling community too. It's where, like, I guess you could say the old heads or the people who've been around for 10, 20 years, like they know like how the process works. They know how things get done and seeing something that just has never been done before. It's like,
it's a deviation from the norm.
Exactly. And so there's going to be a lot of negativity. There's going to be a lot of people just saying bad stuff just so they can, just because other people are doing it. But there's probably a good amount of people out there who are also like, this is a great idea. Mm-hmm. If you're a Division I football player and you think you're going to the NFL and you don't, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you should be playing something, right? Right. There's no reason you should just be, like you said, working.
I mean, the first fallback you should have is having a degree. But if you don't, well, then you still have your athletic abilities. Well, if we build up the sport of rugby in the States, well, we'll be far from it. We'll be closer to the type of money that NFL and NBA makes than we are now. But it's the whole... it's a process. Mm-hmm. And so this academy is the beginning of that process where it's to build this sport in this country. It's the same with wrestling. Like the same, I spent 10, 15 years doing wrestling and it's like every year it's like the same 20, 30,000 people who know about it and everywhere else is just like, what is it? And that makes sense. I mean, it's like the amount of advertising, the amount of like coverage for that sport is very minimal. So most people who listen to the radio or watch TV, they don't see it on there. And then if you watch ESPN and SportsCenter as well, it's always football and basketball. It's like they'll throw on like the SportsCenter top 10 and you'll see some crazy stuff from like a game of tennis or something. But it's like
people, but it just is like you register that as, oh, that's cool, and that's it.
Right,
that's,
right. It's not something that really...
I want to keep watching this. Or right. I want to know more about this guy. Yeah.
Right. It's always just like a quick little excerpt, and it's like, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So, like, with this academy, I feel like, you know, there's going to be the people who have the negative stigma, but I feel like... Like my brother, like me, like the rest of our team, we're all the people who are the difference makers mm-hmm. in the future. Like, we're the beginning of this academy. We're the beginning of American athletes with no rugby experience to take, you know, take nothing and make it something into mm-hmm. like a national or a pro rugby team or whatever the goal is here. And so I think Corey is, like, his opinion is similar with mine. Like, it's a great idea, this and that. Compared to what he went through here last year, I mean, he would probably say, well, shit, I wish I got a King Supers card, or I wish I got a paycheck too. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, we have a little bit more perks. We have a little bit more funding, this and that. So I guess, like, just the main thing is the fact that it's happening. Like, I think that's the great thing about it. It's not like we're going to talk about we should, bring college people in yeah. or – try to get a few coaches and, you know, have a practice every other day. And, like, you know, like when we went down to SoFlo, like when we played that team, it was 7:20 and they were still, bringing another five guys on the field. It was like, hey, like kickoff should have been
20 minutes
ago. And so, like, that type of structure and organization is just, that's a big difference. The funding, yeah. obviously.
Like, but, you said it, you got to start. There's at some point you got to stop talking about it and just do it and try something and see what happens. And
yeah. And so this is why it's great. I mean, Corey, luckily, he got in here last year, and he was able to find a spot in the MLR team. Like, that's the first goal.
Yep.
And then to move on, it's like, well, to build up the sport in the U.S., you're going to have to bring more people into mm-hmm. it. You have to promote it more, advertise it more. And then you'll start getting the funding people want, yeah. too. So, like, they want to bring in the ex-D1 football players and basketball players, even maybe some ex-NFL. But a lot of these guys saw paychecks with $1 million on it or something. It's like, you know, rugby, you don't get that in rugby. Not here in the States, at least. And yeah. so, you know, that's what they got to get to. Yeah. That's the goal. And I think where we are now and, like, what the plan is in the future is they're on the right track. I mean, MLR plans to, like, they're trying to like parallel the MLS. Mm-hmm. And so by 2030, I hear we're trying to get, I think, 24 teams mm-hmm. or how
is that? Yeah, they're trying to grow like crazy. Yeah, so they're like, always looking to expand.
Yeah, so in like 9 years, the MLR should have twice as many teams. And that being said, even now, like the 12, I think it's 12 they have.
It's 12.
They're all privately owned too. So mm-hmm. another 12 privately owned teams. So then you have 24 privately owned funded teams by billionaires and millionaires. Well, they're going to start to attract some more people too, and then right. it's just gonna blow up.
Way more money involved yeah. in total. So
yeah
man, I think that's all the questions I have. I guess the last one is just, you got an off week and you got any plans for the bye week? Are you gonna get out of here for a few days or what?
Yeah, so I'm actually I'm heading back to Arizona uh-huh. and I'm gonna go finish moving out of my apartment.
Get the rest of your stuff.
Yeah, because my lease there ends May 15th, and after this weekend and maybe next, we don't have any more off weeks. And
yeah.
the way this goes, if I miss a practice, that means I'm not playing. And yeah. so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give the coaches that chance to cut me out of playing time. So I'm going to go down there, finish moving out, and head back here on Sunday for
cool.
for practice. Yeah.
Very nice, man. Well, that's all the questions I got. Brady, I don't know if you want to take the end. I usually leave it open if you want to.
Yeah,
shout just, anything out or promote anything, feel free.
Yeah, I just want to shout out my mom, my dad, parents at home, my brother, Corey, playing for Old Glory, and then my boys here, Soup, and roommate Jordan, hope you get better, cripple, and Casey Claw, and my guy Genesis, and everyone else.
Yeah.
And everyone back home, I mean, if you all listen to this, you know who you are. If not, I'll tell you about it. But yeah, that's all. Thank you, Colton.
Yeah, thank you so much, man, for joining me. I appreciate it. All right, I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Colorado XO scrum half Brady Daniel. I know I certainly enjoyed talking to him. I say it every week, though. Guests make the show. Big thank you to Brady for taking the time out of his day to come chat with me. Like I mentioned at the top of the interview, they have a few days off, so he took, you know, some time where he could have been you know, doing whatever else, getting away for a little bit, come chat with me, and I appreciate that. So thank you again to Brady. Hope everybody enjoyed that. And so we'll go ahead and jump into the required reading of the portion of the show. But I decided to take required reading off this week with the Exos on a bye. I thought we should all enjoy a weekend off. So you're welcome. No homework this weekend. I'll be back next weekend with some required reading. So with that, we'll go ahead and close the show with the loop. I have a feature piece coming out on Friday. Dropped the ball last week. It's the same one I've been working on, but I've been working on it for a week now. So hopefully it's good. People like it. You can catch all that on thednvr.com. Just go to the rugby tab. I've been keeping, you know, keeping track of scores in MLR. I'm trying to put out all this XO content that I can. So make sure you go check that out. Talk to Trey Smalls, Jarrell Patterson, and Gerald McDowell just about, you know, how they're liking rugby and, you know, carrying the ball. A lot of those guys are defensive guys that didn't get to carry the ball very much. And they didn't get to carry the ball at all, actually, in college, and got to carry the ball a little bit in high school. So just talking about, like, how they're, you know, liking rugby. And I think it's a good piece, so I'd recommend checking it out. Be sure to follow along with us on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby and at Colton Strickler. You can catch the piece on, you know, both those accounts tomorrow. It's the best way to keep up with everything that we're doing here. I guess that's all I got for everybody this week. I hope you had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will catch you all back here next week.